presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Hey everybody. Now, I shared previously my part A, and so I'm calling this part B, Joanne's Amazing Life, Current, Part A, I titled Changing the Narrative. So that narrative, just a quick recap for anyone that doesn't know. Part A for me was not so amazing. As a child, I experienced a fair amount of trauma. But underneath all of the stuff that happened, there was always this feeling that I was just different. I had, this feeling that never left me, that I just wasn't like other people, I couldn't do what other people did, I just always felt different and never understood that. I as an adult chose to walk away and left church, abandoned God. I was a little bit naughty in that season, and like I offered last time, if anyone wanted to know the nitty-gritty, would do that over coffee, not here. I only had one interested person, so that's all good. I just feel like that person is dead now. New life in Jesus, and that stuff doesn't need to always, there's a time and a place for those gory bits, but not now. At some point when I say I lost my voice, I don't think I ever really had one, actually, at that point. Just always feeling like I just was not a real person for some reason. And I remember at one point I was even too scared at people's houses to even ask, can I use the bathroom? It was pretty bad. And then along what we call part A.1, when I started to, come back around and God sought me, started, what happened at that point was watching my family that were all here and connected and doing life, and I started to see what they had that I didn't have. That was when it started to kind of land for me that maybe there's something more. Now, I actually put some pictures together this time, so if we can go to the next one there. This is me, my beautiful dentition, many, many years ago. Can you see anything wrong here? No, that's not in my mouth. Okay, if you just go to the next one, if you can't see. Okay, the top there, they're called wisdom teeth. And if anyone has experience with wisdom teeth, they generally cause problems. I was working as a dental assistant at this point in time, and so I had access to a lot of dentists. I took this x-ray to all of them because Joe needs to share with every single person. Across the board, prognosis bad. That's going to need a surgical extraction. And one Sunday morning sitting here, and Lynn Noonan, I was chatting with her and told her about it, and she's like, oh, no, we'll pray. They'll be okay. So she prayed for me, and the next slide, ta-da! Then that was not quite 100% there, but those wisdom teeth, God made room. I never felt them ever again. I don't know whether it happened then and there or whether it's obviously happened over a few years because that one's still moving, but God just made my smile really big. That's all. That's what happened there. So praise God. Praise God. So at some point, I became a person. Thank you, God, for that. That was great. Now, when we first started talking about, if you can just go to the next one. Thanks, Caleb. When we first started talking about what's going on here, about sharing our story, and Kerry referenced this scripture about always being prepared to give an answer to anybody. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. So this is Joe. Finally found myself being a real person. And at my workplace, I was, talk as I do. And this woman said to me, why do you go to church? What do you believe? And I, like a deer in headlights, suddenly didn't know what to say. And that still, like, is heavy on my heart to this day, that I wasn't prepared. Fail, but God's got grace on that, because now I've thought that through, and now I have an answer, because looking back, what I can tell you is that I saw that the family of God was something that was eternal, something that I was missing out on. I could see that people that were connected had life, they had hope, they had a joy that was something that I didn't have in my life. So it became attractive to me. I wanted to be a part of that family. So I just started testing the waters and poking my toe in, and here I am. I just want to share with you something that's been big in my life, is to be more like Jesus. How do we be attractive? How do we encourage people to come and to want what we have? What was that I saw? And in Philippians, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the rest of that scripture is, like, amazing, but just that part of being humble and obedient, that if we're doing that and we're taking that, like Jesus didn't, even though he was in very nature God, that wasn't what he was about. He chose to be the servant. And so as we, the family, emulate that, that is what will be attractive to people. So I can hope that's what I will be. And the second part of that question, so that was, why do you go to church? But what do you believe in? How do you answer that? So I believe that God created me for relationship. That's relationship with him and relationship with you guys. And I believe that Jesus died so that I don't have to. And if you read in the Old Testament, all of the sacrificing of animals and things, that I just don't get it. I really don't. And then I read, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And then I think, roast lamb, that's an aroma pleasing to Joanne as well. I get that. So I just have to kind of go, do you know what, God, you're God. I be me. I don't have to worry about all of the things that don't make sense. I can just let God be God. And I look to Jesus for my example of what to follow. I also wrote here that he made me just right. Oh, I nearly missed that in my notes. Isn't that great? He made me the way he wanted me to be. And Kerry, what you said before is, like, despite the lies that Satan tells me my whole childhood, growing up thinking there's something wrong with me, I'm not like other people, I can't have this, I can't be that. And it's not true. Those are lies. Because everyone knows I'm amazing, right? Getting better. So, being humble and obedient, what does this mean? A big part of that, when we follow, what did Jesus teach us? Love your enemies. And I wrote here, and your frenemies. So I looked it up. What does a frenemy mean? A person with whom one is friendly, despite a fundamental dislike or rivalry. And this has been a big thing through my life of, you know, those people that you just know that there's something not right. People that are outwardly against you, but people that you know are but pretend they're not. And I've had a couple of big examples in my life where God has said, pray for them, bless them, and it actually really works. Like, if you... I saw this person and I'm thinking, how can that person, like, just have so much anger inside of them, and God's like, bless them. And I'm like, Do I have to? Yeah, okay. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so I'm like, God bless that person, bless them, bless them, bless them. And then they changed somehow. Something in that dynamic just shifted. And I'm like, hey, God is good. God does know. God does know. We just have to look to Jesus, look to his example. Humility, obedience, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So it's been a journey. That's a lot of years all bundled up. And so then this happened. Thanks, Caleb. Da-da-da. Little old me that thought nothing of my life, like I wasn't even a real person, and then along comes someone that thought I was a person. And so then the next thing that happened, like, what a blessed life I live. You know, like, it doesn't get any better than that, really. I'm going to get all messy. That God saw something that was worthwhile when I just didn't, yeah. When you really come from zero and think that no one's ever going to choose me, yeah. So I'm so thankful, and I don't take any of this for granted. Like, I know how blessed I am. And I was reminded of in Luke 7, when Jesus was anointed by a sinful woman, and everyone's like, oh, she's, you know, you don't want to associate with her, get her away. And Jesus said, no, let her come. She's been forgiven so much, and she has a great love inside of her. If you've been forgiven much, you will love much, and your life can, you know, why do I have to be the person that went through the trauma? Why do I have to be that person? I don't know, but here I am, just doing what God's asked me to do, and, you know, happy endings, hey? But in Philippians, it's my favourite at the moment, if you can't tell. So just before that bit about Jesus, Paul is writing, I love this. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, Jesus freak, yeah. But will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Yeah. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yeah, you get to keep working. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you, guys, that I remain in the body, so that through my being with you, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. So I'm literally here to make you guys smile. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So most of you would know, this is my beautiful mum, an example of humility and obedience. So my mum had a cancer journey that her first diagnosis was when I was 15 years old. She had terminal breast cancer. My grandparents sat me and my brothers down and told us that mum was not coming home, that she was given 3 months prognosis. At her funeral just a couple of years ago, I shared like some crazy, they missed that target by like 23 years, 6 months, and I don't know how many days, like we did the math, it was pretty funny. Throughout my life, this is a bit of a trauma response when you're a child and your family is very dysfunctional, that you feel like the adult in the house. And I lost so many tears and fears throughout my life worrying about my mum, because she was a bit hazardous, to put it, yeah. I would worry and worry whenever I was not there that she'd have a fall, that something would go wrong, and I just lived like I don't know why, I just had this intense sadness and worry that I couldn't be there for her all the time. And then a couple of years ago, when she was diagnosed, this was her fifth cancer diagnosis, so the first one, she was meant to die. The second one, they were like, well, we'll just see what happens here. Then I remember she would come home and she'd be like, oh, here we go again. And the last time, I remember sitting on the end of the bed and she said to me, like, no, oh, I didn't hoped that it wouldn't end up this way, but here we are, and this is it. I'm like, oh, hang on, haven't done this one before. All of the times when, like, so when my grandparents told us that she was going to die, didn't believe them. I don't know why, I don't know how. That never landed in my spirit. I just didn't feel that she was going to. And she didn't, so on we went. In the year before her passing, she kept ringing me and telling me that she'd had a dream that she was running. So my mum on this little walker going so slow, and she was dreaming. She was dreaming of her heaven legs. She'd be like, oh, I dreamed that I was running and I didn't even have my walker. And I really just feel so deep in my soul that that was God preparing her for heaven. And she was ready. She was fine. She wasn't scared to die. You know, like if you know God is real, you know that heaven is there. Like the evidence that God places in your life, like my teeth being miraculously turned around inside my head, like there's no explanation for that. There's no logical explanation. Every dentist that I showed that to was like, nah, no way, nah, no way. And then when I go back and show them the next x-ray and they go, huh, haven't seen that before. It just doesn't happen, but God, praise God. So that scripture in Philippians that is better for me, like, you know, do I live, do I die? I want to go run with mum. After her funeral, people would say, oh, she'll be sipping cups of tea with Jan Cowie. And I'm like, nah, she's running. She's running. I just had this feeling in my heart that she's just running. And then sometime later, someone would say, oh, yeah, she's, you know, chatting with your grandma and grandpa. I'm like, nah, she's still running. I just knew in my heart she was still running. And, man, I want my heaven legs. I'll beat you. Pamela and I are running buddies. We make it competitors, yeah. We make each other go faster. I've been held back by my children, my beautiful children, but I'm so blessed. My broken babies, they've been through. While God is working and making things happen in my life, the enemy will come. Now, this was not in my notes. It just came to me now. While I'm doing what God's calling me to do, and your targets get hit, so you have to pray protection over your family. Man, my kids have been hit pretty hard just recently, but it's okay, God's got them. And the, you know, I've just shared with you how much fear and worry I had over my mum. I don't fear for my children. I know they're okay. God's got them. This is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I remain for your joy. Here I am. Where am I up to now? Just recently, I was diagnosed with ADHD, which has been an interesting thing to learn about oneself. And it suddenly realized why I felt so different. Because I am. I'm just, yeah. And the people were saying to me, no, you're okay. I'm like, no, I'm actually not okay. And started to unravel this puzzle inside of my head that all of the things that I'm going through and have lived through have started to make sense. All those years I said, what is wrong with me? Well, now we know. For all those years, I felt like I couldn't connect with God. I could see other people connecting with God and I couldn't do it. And now I feel like everything's making sense in my life, in my faith. Yeah, so I just feel like the woman that asked me, like, what do you believe in? Why do you go to church? What do you believe? I just had no answer for her. And now I'm like, I want to tell everybody. Like, and it came up just the other night, the song from way, way, way back, The Jesus Freak. And, you know, what will people think if they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? And what will they do when they find out that it's true? Because I am. But I just want to, like, I just want to skip forward to the heaven legs. I really do. I really do. But there's all this stuff to do in between. So a big part of living through, like, a lifetime of being in and out of church, and my own experience with people that have said to me, what do you believe? Why do you, you know, why do you believe that? And not having an answer. I just see that a lot of people have been hurt. Harm has been done. And, like, while we can't change those things, we can fashion our lives on Jesus, look to him, be that humble, obedient person that he demonstrated for us to be. I just recently watched this DVD. Do we have, is that all right for that, Kerry? Is that enough time? Yeah. Recently watched, I saw this man, Dr. John Dixon, he shared years ago, and he was amazing to listen to. So I bought, he made a documentary, and he'd gone throughout the world and researched and studied the harm that had been done by Christians in the name of Jesus over time. He also researched and demonstrated the good that the Christians have done. It wasn't all doom and gloom. So the title of his documentary was Christians Behaving Badly, Why the Church is Better and Worse Than You Could Ever Imagine. So lots and lots and lots of good things are done in the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, sometimes we're just people and we get it wrong. And I'll just stop talking, and if we can just play that clip, which really just explains this so nicely.
That there's a sense in which Christianity is a beautiful piece of music, and the problem isn't the music. The problem is the way sometimes it's been performed. So talk a little bit about that, and then share with them how you because in one of your documentaries, one of your films, you actually illustrated this in the most interesting way.
Yeah. So I imagine the gospel of Jesus, his teaching of love your enemies, and the way he himself gave his life for enemies, for us, as the beautiful tune. And many music scholars think one of the most sublime tunes ever recorded, ever written, is Johann Sebastian Bach's cello suites, and particularly the prelude to the cello suites, because it's mathematically sublime and it deliberately messes with your head and then gives you, you know, incredible release. It's wonderful. But I imagine the gospel of Jesus like that tune. Now, if you heard me play the cello suites, you might wonder whether Bach could write a tune, because I don't play cello, right? But you know to distinguish between the beautiful composition and the terrible performance.
Yep.
And as I survey Christian history, and as I speak with people who think Christianity has only damaged the world, I say, Christians haven't performed the tune, but the tune is still beautiful. Mm. And in the documentary, yeah, I went and had two lessons on the cello and tried to play the cello suites.
And we have a recording of that.
Right.
So, but it's actually only two lessons. And so we're going to play, this is Dr. John Dixon's rendition of Cello Suite. So let's just listen to this.
But every cellist in the audience died. Just right.
But now we're going to play how it's supposed to sound.
Okay. That's not me. want to say, if I can, is if you have been hurt by the church or by an individual Christian, it's because Christians haven't played the melody. It's not because the melody isn't beautiful. And I reckon if you have been hurt by the church, every genuine Christian in this building and watching on would want to say to you straight, look you in the eye and say, we are sorry. We are sorry that we haven't loved like Christ loved us. And we beg you, despite our poor performance, to see if you can hear the melody again. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who mistreat you. A melody Jesus took all the way to his cross for us. And we're at that last bit of the prelude here right now. It's designed to take you away from the root note, the G. We could call it the gospel. That just came to me, but it is the G note. Bach has taken you away so that you long to get back home. And he keeps hinting that you're coming back and then taking you away until this very last movement. And for me, this is the story of the church. Sometimes coming near, sometimes moving away. Tension, resolution, tension, resolution. But here we come back. Have a listen to this.
Isn't that beautiful? Like, can we just look to Jesus for that melody, and we can keep practicing. It doesn't matter if you're not perfect, but if we just keep looking to Jesus and continuing to build on that humility and that obedience that he demonstrated. And if that means we end up looking like Jesus freaks, then sign me up, because that's what I feel like already. So this is just, so thank you for the time this morning. And I just want to encourage, like, each person, like, the parts of the body that we all need to work together, we need to play our part. Like, whether you're the joker or if your job's being on the projector or cleaning or whatever that part is, to within that to demonstrate Jesus and keep working on that melody.
Thank you, Joe. That was beautiful. I remember when Joe sort of started coming to church, and I was like, I said something about, I don't know, maybe saying an announcement or saying something at the front. She's like, mm-mm. Like, I don't talk at the front. So you're just, blowing us away, Joe. So I know that time is getting on, but we have one more person to speak, and that is Katie. So Katie said to me this week, she said, I think I'm supposed to share. And I'm like, well, this is the week to do it, because this is the next sharing week on our roster for a couple of months. So, maybe I just need to stop talking. Although I did want to say, I wouldn't have ever thought, Joe, to have looked up the word frenemies in the dictionary. So thanks for that definition.
I just say talking up the front is a lot different to singing at the front. So a little bit nervous. Hello, everybody. So when I first heard our church was having a testimony month or two, I never really thought about myself. I was just looking forward to hearing other people's stories. I thought, well, I've only lived 16 years, so I don't have much to share. I guess I was being stubborn because I didn't want to put in the effort of writing a whole testimony, and I didn't see the point. This week I was praying And God said, share your story. And I'm like, but there's nothing to share. And he's like, well, actually, there's this and this and this. So I feel like I might have been avoiding asking God first if I should share before just deciding I didn't need to. But here I am. I'm obeying, and I hope this will make sense. So for those who don't know me, my name is Katie Stott. I was born here in Waiala, and I'm nearly 17 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. This is the only church I've ever known. Something most people may or may not know about me is I have ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder. And when I was younger, I'd say it was a lot more obvious than now. In primary school, I struggled with my learning, and some teachers were no help. I also struggled socially, sometimes saying everything I was thinking when it was best to keep it to myself. And as I got older, I've had issues with friends, and I've probably put a wall up now so I don't get too attached to people, so I don't get hurt again. So my walk with God. I've wanted to have a relationship with God for as long as I could remember. Looking back at some videos of when I was little, I was praising God even if I didn't know what it meant. I also remember getting very upset when someone would laugh at me when I closed my eyes and lifted my hands at church. But I get now that it's just cute because I was little. I was begging for ages to get baptized. And when I was 9, I finally understood the purpose of baptism and I got baptized. So that was a very exciting day for me. I experienced my first miracle somewhere around this time. Everyone my age knew how to ride a two-wheeler bike, and I was feeling a bit left out and upset that I took a longer time to learn. And then one day we went out to try again. I was praying and asking God to help me balance, and then I did. And after that, I was able to ride a two-wheeler bike, so that was pretty cool. It might have been a small miracle, but I think that's when I really started to believe in miracles, and it was a really memorable and important event in my life. God says to have faith, but it's probably a little hard for a little girl to believe in something that they can't see. I wrote my first song when I was about eight, and that's when my songwriting kind of began. Although I did make up my own words when I was little, but I put songs on paper when Eli helped me to put chords to it. Then a few years later, I finally joined the worship team here after begging for a while. And that definitely helped me in my faith. Starting high school was probably when my faith started to grow and develop. My first youth camp was in Port Lincoln. Didn't really know what to expect, but it was amazing. I remember some people praying for me because I had asked God to give me the gift of tongues. I didn't speak tongues on that day, to my disappointment. But later on, God started giving me these random words. Not all at once, but just one word a week. And he would tell me the English meaning of that word. And that was a very cool experience too. Now I very rarely speak in tongues, but I'm able to if I choose to. That same year, God told me to pray for someone in our church. I never really struggled to pray out loud when I was younger, but praying for others was embarrassing and scary to me. I obeyed him and prayed for that person, very scared that they would say they didn't want prayer, but they did. And after that, I was more confident to pray for people, but it is still something I'm working on. So I've been to several Easter camps. And it feels amazing to be around so many other Christian youth, and I've learnt so much. I had been going to a camp in Port Hughes, but last year I moved to a camp in Melrose, and at that camp I realised I hadn't really heard God's voice in a long time, that maybe I was prioritising other things in life and letting other voices get the better of me. A lady prayed for me one worship night. I didn't feel any changes instantly, but after, I felt refreshed and so much calmer. And I didn't necessarily hear God's voice for a long time after that, but I felt a lot more connected to him. Then things started going downhill, as life does. My pop passed away, dad got burnt out, mum was starting to burn out, and I feel like I should have been more upset, but I still had this peace and I even still felt joy. I decided to look at how God turned things around for good. I started to write more songs. My song "He Is Worthy" was written for dad, and I even got to release it at the end of the year. He helped mum recover. She's back here now. She's ready to go. Dad has a new full-time job that he really enjoys, and there's just so much to be happy about. Okay, there's one more short story I have. So sometimes I see things in the spirit. If you don't know what that means, it's very hard to explain, but it's kind of like seeing visions of angels, or like, so sometimes in the worship I see like rain, just like God pouring out. I don't know how to explain it, but like, yeah. I prayed continuously for God to show me anything. The first thing I saw was a couple of years ago, and it changed me. It gave me a whole new perspective. But what annoyed me was that I didn't choose when I saw things. At this year's Easter camp, I got to speak to a pastor who has had the same experiences, and he told me some things that he has seen and what they mean, and encouraged me to ask God to interpret what I see in the spiritual realm. And that night, God told me to pray for this boy. And usually when I pray, I have to plan what I'm going to say in my head first. But this time I went straight to the boy and prayed. He started crying, and I had my hand on his back, and his body just grew unusually hot, like not normal hot. I don't know why to this day, but that was very strange. And I learnt that I can not only see things in the spirit, but I can feel things as well. Yeah, and since that day, I can see and feel things in the spirit almost all the time if I just pray, because I have a better understanding. Some of these things I haven't told anyone, and I felt like God wanted me to share this. I really have grown so much, and reflecting on all my experience, this is probably very uncommon for most people my age, or older even. And I can't wait for my future and where the Lord will take me. So thank you for listening.
Wow, isn't it amazing sharing our stories with each other? Every single week we do it. Like, and I know that there have been some people who have like, oh, I don't know if I want to come to church if there's not going to be a sermon, or, you know, whatever. But like this, for me, I feel like, I know, I get encouraged. It encourages us all that we're all human.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.